We're answering the call. 93.7 The Fan will host the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon to benefit local volunteer fire departments. We will broadcast live for over 26 hours as we raise funds to help these volunteers who serve and sacrifice for us. Keep listening to The Fan for details on how you can donate to a great cause. 5-Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, Cedar Brook Golf Course, and Sullivan Super Service. So this is going to be great stuff, and we really, really want you to participate. Because as it says right here, volunteers who serve and sacrifice for us. Paul, nice to see Cedar Brook on board with us in this one. That's awesome. And I can't wait to get out there and play again.
Yes, we got to do it. What happens to the PaulsIce.com tour at Cedar Brook in May is it goes on hiatus because I'm away at basketball every weekend.
Yeah.
But then June comes and we play at least once, if not twice, every weekend.
Has Bob ever joined?
He's never been with us.
No.
It's too early for him. He doesn't
it's
like
too
to get
early.
Up
early. Yeah. You got to get up at 5 a.m.
No.
I don't go to sleep until 2 or 3, so I can't get up at 5.
Are Fridays
as
your day off,
as much as I like
Bob?
Golf.
Yeah.
Yes. Generally, depending on the year.
So you work 6 days, though, don't you?
The football season.
Yeah.
Football season, all of us, there's a lot more to do, and obviously more programs, more
Do whatever. You get overtime, Bob?
No.
You should.
It's a labor of love, Joe.
Listen to this.
Wait, there's that new rule that's coming into effect where salaried employees are supposed to get overtime now, according to the federal law that's apparently being passed.
You want more?
Yeah.
You want more? You like it. You want more of it?
So there you have it, Bob. You're about to get rich. Richer than
you
already
Bob.
Are, right?
I'll fight for you. I will. So here we go. After we left Friday, Todd Reirden relieved of his duties. I like Todd Reirden a lot. He's a really good guy and a good hockey coach. And it was time for a change there, and it might not fix anything. I think all of the above, I'm very comfortable believing all of the above is true. But here's the larger story at play here. There was word of tensions between Dubas and Sullivan, which is easy to imagine, the fact that it took this long to fire Todd Reirden. I don't think it takes, some wild imagination to believe that Sullivan was, as Frank Saravalli reported, vehemently opposed to making changes to his staff. This was Saravalli's tweet when the Reirden thing went down. There was no shortage of friction in Pittsburgh, where, as we reported, Sullivan was vehemently opposed to making changes. Now that GM Kyle Dubas has fired assistant coach Todd Reirden, is that the tipping point on Sullivan's tenure? We shall see. Emily Kaplan also reported of tension. Elliot Friedman talking about the bad seasons. Really special teams have created some, quote, animosity. And then we have Josh Yoey coming in with The Athletic under the headline. It was just a simple headline, Penguins parting ways with longtime associate coach Todd Reirden. And then at the very end of the story, Yoey says this. There is no rift between Sullivan and Dubas. It's been reported elsewhere that there is. Those reports are laughably false. Perhaps they didn't agree on the Reirden decision. That's quite possible. But I assure you they have a very good working relationship and are very much on the same page. Anything else that you read is utterly untrue.
Very strong by Josh. I love it.
Well, it's strong wording, Bob. And I love Josh. I think he's as good as there is out there. But if I'm the editor at The Athletic and I see that as the last two lines of my story, I'm calling Josh and saying, okay, the whole hockey world thinks there's major tensions in Pittsburgh. If you know otherwise, to the point where you're saying those reports are laughably false,
right?
Let's see a story with a headline. Story with a headline, Sullivan Dubas in peaceful lockstep in Pittsburgh, and you tell me about that. That's the only objection
I
have here.
What he did?
He did it in the final two paragraphs of the story.
Who's in charge of headlines?
But he also, it's not even about that. To Joe's point, the story is actually it's just about Todd Reirden, right?
Yeah.
To Joe's point is, wait a minute, you drop that nugget at the bottom of a, it's almost like a throwaway line at the bottom of a story. No, no, no. Take that part of that. Let's make another story. You can have your story about Reardon, right? Obviously, that's the news. But let's have you write about Dubas.
Maybe he is going
and
to.
And Sullivan.
Maybe
okay.
That was just the first
and,
information right.
And
he got.
Build okay. That, and that should be your lead, and you should build it into a whole lot of reporting as to why you know it's false.
It sounds like you believe this, Bob. I don't. I think it's
I
pretty
you can
obvious.
Have
it's pretty obvious. A disagreement is, hey, how should we do our X's and O's on the power play? A disagreement isn't, can I keep my right-hand man, my most important coach, and my friend here? And Kyle Dubas saying, no, I want to fire him. That appears to have been the way that it went down.
But does that mean their relationship is to the point where it can't exist?
I believe Saravalli's report, yeah. I believe
so believe Josh's report?
No, I believe high tensions existed here. Until I read or see otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say that I think...
Now, that doesn't mean there's not people telling Josh that and people telling Frank that. So it's not really about believing Josh or Frank. It's about believing the people who are telling them what's happening here.
Right.
And sometimes you have to be very cautious of that. That's one of the biggest things that you got to do. It's easy to come out with stuff, but you got to make sure. Because otherwise, then you find yourself in a retractive mode and you got to delete things and it doesn't make sense. So, listen, all I know is Mike Sullivan is fiercely loyal. I know that from watching him and talking to him. I think I know that well enough that he's loyal. So would I expect him not to be on board with this sort of decision? Yeah, sure. But I think he, in the end of the day, would probably understand it, that there has to be some change. And if it's not going to be players, because they're, how do you change all
these
players?
See, to me, that's a very happy viewpoint, that in the end, that Sully suddenly said, you know what, you're right. Go ahead and get rid of my guy.
I never said that. What I'm saying is you can have disagreements, and he gets to the point where he has to understand why the move is being made. Didn't this happen in 2020 when there were coaching changes on his staff?
Yeah, and he hated that.
Exactly. So
right.
You can have disagreements, but they've
and,
you know,
and
he's
by
been
the
here
way,
4 years later.
By the way, it wasn't long after that Jim Rutherford resigned and the whole top of their organization
right. Yeah,
blew
but I think that
up.
Was
there was a very happy face put on that, too.
But
there's
I
a happy
think,
face put on a lot of things with the Penguins, and it ain't that happy over there.
What I'm saying
they
is—
They stink. They've missed the playoffs twice in a row.
I agree, and they
and
need
I
to make
believe
changes.
That there's incredible tension
well,
between
the,
Dubas and Sullivan.
Okay, fine.
I believe what Saravalli said. It seems like a lot of people— want to make this Penguin situation, what'd you expect? They're all old, all no movement clauses. What do you expect from Kyle Dubas? He's a genius. He came in here. What's he supposed to do? A, don't take the job then, if you don't think you can get it done. B,
he's only been 1 year.
B,
here. 1 year, we'll see.
You were given all kinds of resources to make the team better now, this year, and they got worse. He was able to make the biggest move of the entire offseason and bring in a $40 million commitment with Carlson. $27 million with Graves, $28 million, whatever it was
exactly.
With Jarrett.
I agree.
So
100%
I don't want to hear any more
saying.
About a handcuffed, poor Kyle Dubas.
Nobody's saying that. What I'm saying
a
is he had to make a change, and he felt that was the need to go. Now, it may be a scapegoat kind of change, but this is not unusual in sports. What I'm saying is to say that there's so much tension that people may think Sullivan would walk on what's the rest of his contract, I don't know if it's gotten to that point. I don't think any of us know.
Right.
You could have a disagreement. Like I said, he did. He was not happy
would
with what happened in
2020. Would you be surprised if it got to that point?
But he, yes, quite frankly, yes. I think he has had a commitment to these guys who are here. He wants to see it through, and we'll see what goes on from there. He's about to embark on a 3-year extension for $5.5 million. He knows the team he has. I think they can – listen, they were one of the better 5-on-5 teams in the game this year. That tells me that they're actually a pretty good team. Their problems were – on that power play because of players. I'll put the players up there as equal as I will Todd Reardon. I don't think Todd Reardon got stupid. I think players and their, you know, being superstars hurt them because they think they can do everything without having some sort of – watch your Rangers. They have a bunch of superstars on their team. You watch how they navigate. Watch the Oilers, how they navigate
so
a power play.
They're so much faster and so much better
I get
than
it,
the Penguins
but
at
they
even
gotta
strength
be,
and on the
did
power
Did you
play.
Think the Penguins that were going to be 15% and 30th on the league this year coming in with what they had? No. You probably thought they were going to contend for a Stanley Cup, right?
So the Penguins?
Yes.
No?
Yes, you did. You thought there was a time, didn't you say that you thought they would contend for us after the Carlson trade, before the season ever started?
No.
You never
said
that.
I never put them on a list of real contenders for a cup right after they made the trade.
That was Pony.
Did you? That might have been Pony, yes.
Right. No. I thought that adding Carlson would make them the 7 or 8 seed.
Okay.
Which they missed the playoffs last year. They were probably the 9 seed last year. So
I'm saying to you is their play overall at 5-on-5 was very good. Their problems lie with the stupid decisions that are being made on the ice by the players,
but
especially 12 shorthanded goals. No one's teaching them how to make careless plays at ridiculous parts of the ice, but they do it all the time.
But I'll tell you
which means the coaches aren't getting through to them. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, that's a different story.
You want me to walk out? You guys
can just go back
and forth? And, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Forget about their tension.
Yes.
There's tension building
that's
here.
Right. We just got done about an hour.
No, there's no tension here.
Yelling on the bus.
Those reports are laughable, Bob. There's no tension here. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, the whole point with them is I think that what has happened is Mike Sullivan is probably – This is the first time in a while, Joe, that they've had to basically tell him to do something he didn't want to do. The last time it happened, the general manager ended up leaving.
I think that's a different situation. I think that went way beyond that.
But my point is,
yeah, for sure,
I cannot believe that they're 100% kumbaya, all on the same page, all happy.
Who is in sports today?
But again, when you say these reports are laughably wrong, these two have an incredible working relationship, and what does that mean? Because to me, they just got done a week ago where the general manager told the coach, "You have to fire this guy, who's your friend, who you're loyal to." So when I hear, here's the thing. If the report was, these national guys are overstating how much tension there really is. There are obviously some disagreement with some things, but for the most part, they're on the same page, on what they need to do to make the Penguins better. That is completely different than these national guys are basically lying. Is what There's no they're over there singing kumbaya and. Handing out cookies. I mean, come on. What are we talking about? So, to Joe's point, getting way back into this thing, if indeed you have the ability to report that, there is zero tension over there and they're all on the same page, it should be a news story unto itself.
I agree with that. I never disagreed with that. What I'm saying is, I think when you have coach GM decisions, none of them are going to be easy. That doesn't mean that the whole relationship is crumbling. It doesn't.
I agree with you on
they're making changes, and I think Sullivan understands it. He's been around long enough. He's had to do it before.
But the reports that were coming out suggested otherwise, that Sullivan vehemently opposed and there was no shortage of friction in Pittsburgh. Listen, when we go back to Rutherford leaving, by the way, of course, I don't even know if it had anything to do. It had nothing to do with firing Gonchar and Recchi and whoever else they fired in that thing. What it did have to do with, I believe, to this day, is Jim Rutherford's contract not being as long as Mike Sullivan's. He didn't get the same extension. Okay? That's what I believe stemmed. You always want to have a contract as long as your head coach. And what that gets back to is the crux of what could be the tension here is that this is a very coach-centric organization with Mike Sullivan. It's almost like Mike Tomlin with the Steelers. You don't see this in hockey a lot. This guy is the man in this organization, Mike Sullivan. Fenway Sports Group loves him. He got extended for forever. And how that plays into, wait a second here. The GM actually got his way in this situation. Like, what's happening here with the Penguins? What is the relationship between those two and Fenway Sports with each of those guys? Who has more power? That's what I'm wondering. And, as Frank said at the end of his tweet, we shall see how all this turns out with Sully.
Yeah, I agree. We shall see. But I'm to think that they're just at a point where this relationship has gone completely sour and they can't work together, I think is misleading, and I don't think it's true. I think they have disagreements. I think it's healthy to have disagreements. This is a disagreement area for him because
right.
He's a loyal guy.
Right. But again, I think that when
he will pick his next coach. I believe that. I think he'll have influence from Dubas, but he's going to want somebody that he knows and trusts.
Right. And at the end of the day, as I've said a bunch of times, at the end of the day, okay, who sets the overall philosophy for the team? Mike Sullivan.
The coach does. Yeah, absolutely.
So in changing, if there were problems with what Todd Reirden was doing, why didn't Mike Sullivan change it over the last year and a half?
Again, though, you're assuming that it's all coach-related. If the players aren't listening to the coaches, I guarantee that's a problem. But it's a problem that was, set up when they agreed to all these contract extensions.
That is my overall point. Exactly what you just said. Changing.
So what do you think? The next head coach would change the viewpoint of the players who are on the power play and do what they had led to do.
I think that the next head coach, yes, would come in and do things completely different.
I thought when Sully got here, he told the Stars what to do, which basically back then was shut up and play. And now I don't think he gets through to them any longer.
Well, again, I think
some of them.
I think
anyway.
Again, I go with five. There's two different stories. The 5-on-5 play, they're getting through to somebody. That to me is more indicative of what a coach impact has. They were good at 5-on-5. They played better on the special teams, which should be an obvious advantage for them. They fell apart. Now, I will say coaching in overtime is more strategy than people think, and they failed there.
I don't know. How good were they at 5-on-5 at protecting leads? Were they? And now I look at the first round of the NHL playoffs, by the way, and it's all special teams. Somebody put out a chart.
Well, the Edmonton Oilers and New York Rangers are proof positive. It's all special teams.
So were the
teams.
Bruins and Avalanche and Hurricanes and everybody else. I mean, it's been crazy. The Stars were at 30% on their power play, and then the teams that failed lost, basically, for the most part. And that's special teams and goaltending win you cups, right?
Yeah.
But again, all I'm trying to say is this firing of Todd Reirden is meaningless to me, because all you're going to do is bring in another Todd Reirden. And if Mike Sullivan, didn't change what Todd Reirden was trying to get them to do, then I always think it's scapegoating. I'm sorry. I just do.
I think it's true of all sports. It starts there,
right?
And if it progresses, it will make its way up to the head coach.
But again, it does. This is legitimately the first step to, hey, Sullivan, you better get this right. We're going to give you, 1 year. We're going to change your coaching staff. But if it doesn't get right next year, you're gone.
But I think Kyle Dubas knows that some of his moves were not the best moves and did not help the organization.
Right.
So you can blame Sullivan all you want for not getting through. But then the players he did bring in, as Joe said, some of these guys did not live up to the contracts they signed, and that's a problem that's traceable to the GM.
Yeah,
their bottom six did not get any better.
At some point, you've said many times that this is the one town where the coaches don't have like. You might be right that getting rid of Todd Reirden will have zero effect on the power play, but he still needed to go.
There's no question, but you know what? My point is, so did the guy that's his direct supervisor.
You might be right about
that. That's my point. My point is, I get it. I understand you've got to make changes from time to time and say, okay, we're not going to blow it all up, right? But just like, with Mike Tomlin, same exact discussion we've had. How many times are we going to make him force him or get him to fire his offensive coordinator before we decide – okay, maybe that's not the biggest problem we got. And so to me, with Mike Sullivan, you have not won a playoff series since, was it 18? You've missed it. What?
Similar to the Steelers, yeah.
You've missed the playoffs the last 2 years. Despite the fact that you've had three Hall of Famers, and by the way, the last 2 years, and this year you had four Hall of Famers, basically, but the last 2 years... Those three, your three Hall of Famers last year, I think Letang missed about 25 games or something because he was, because he missed about 22 games, I think it was, because he was hurt. But for the most part, he still played 59, 60 games or whatever it was. And Crosby and Malkin played 82 last year. And I think all four of them, if I'm not mistaken, played 82 games this year, didn't they? Four of them.
Well, like, Letang missed some time, I think. I don't know.
You have basically got over the last 2 years, the best in terms of, you know, what your older stars are able to give you. I mean, there's teams probably with a lot of younger guys. No, look, 82. Crosby, 82 games. Malkin, 82 games. Carlson, 82 games. Letang, 82 games. They all played 82 games this year. So it's not enough to say, well, you know, they're aging team, they're this, that. But you had your best players available for every game.
There's also the small matter that they quit on him around the Gensel trade. And then a lot was made on how these men of great character came back late in the season in the last few weeks. The only reason the Penguins even had a chance is because the Flyers, Wings, even the Islanders before they got hot at the end, very end, and Capitals all had epic winless streaks. Epic at the end. So is this the tipping point for Sully? Probably not. He'll probably be here. But I'm not imagining this is going to get better next year. Kyle Dubas made some big commitments during last offseason that he didn't have to make. You want to talk about no move? Does Ryan Graves have a no movement clause? Nelly?
Off the top of my head, I think he has a modified one, but not this year.
Again, they handles out too liberally. I just hate him.
I agree.
Who is Ryan Graves to get any sort of guarantee of anything?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
I agree with that. But he might have already had it. I don't know. But and then just wanted it for this team.
He has a modified no trade clause.
There you go.
From 2023 to 2026.
There you go. So Kyle Dubas didn't, you know, when you say he's only been here 1 year, okay. But he may have handcuffed the Penguins for many years.
He might have, yeah. But I'm saying.
Did he pick the right goalie? No, it doesn't look like it to me. Looks like he failed just like he did in Toronto with the goalies there. Something that's still manifesting itself. Did he pick the right $27 million guy? No, looks like he failed there. Is Erik Karlsson a good fit? Nope. Who else? Riley Smith committed. He made a trade there. $10 million left on his deal. Was that a good move? I don't know. It doesn't look like it.
No.
Let's talk about this. 412-928-9370, 928-9370. Meantime, a lot going on in the NHL playoffs elsewhere, including a name I want to bring up. Does this guy need to win a cup to make his legacy? Let's talk about that. South Hills Kia fan Twitter. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And then I want to talk about the NBA and FanDuel and how the playoffs have been tremendous so far. Great game the other night where you had Jokic looking different than he's ever looked to me in a playoff game. Minnesota got him sped up a little bit. So here's the deal. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place an SGP on any playoff matchup, and you'll get bonus bets back if you don't win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers and more. Visit FanDuel.com/Starkey and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/Starkey. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present Pennsylvania. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
Things have changed, Bob.
Why can't you ever see it, baby? What you doing? What you doing to me? You dog, you.
When you don't believe a word I say.
Here we go with Suspicious Minds.
We can't go on.
It's a profound statement. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. Oh, you want more?
Yeah.
You want more?
A little more.
You want more?
Okay. Thank you, Nelly. Very kindly. Bob, I honestly believe this. You could be a legit Elvis impersonator.
Back in the day, I used to do it better than I can do it now. I don't know what happened.
Have you ever done something where you put on an Elvis suit and sing?
In high school, we used to do it all the time. And
you would be unbelievable at that.
No, not anymore.
I've never heard anything like it. You still doing TikToks?
No, I cut that. I do occasional things, but I haven't done one in a while. It's too much work, Joe. Do you ever try to do one? If you're good at young, you edit all this stuff. I don't have time. I think it's very time consuming to do anything social media wise. If you're going to edit and all that stuff, it takes a long time.
Yeah, really.
I don't know, Bob. You sound mildly depressed, and that's depressing.
How can
me.
I be? That's not depressed.
I don't know.
What do you want
Something's
me to do?
Wrong
you want to
here.
Do a TikTok together? We used to do them in here.
I know.
Do you
that's
remember?
Another thing.
We never do them
there's
anymore.
There's some fallout from the Hey Bob calls. I feel like there's some tension.
No.
You talk about tension.
There's no tension.
You talk about tension with Dubas and Sully, although I guess there is none, according to some. But there's tension here. Bob, Paul, can you sense it? Things have changed.
No, what are you talking about?
See?
There's
That's
no
exactly
tension.
But I thought the lady told us the other night that I don't give Bob a hard enough time. There's not enough tension now
right.
that Bob
Not enough. Wrong well, left. On that side of the room, yeah. That's true, too. Possibly, I think.
Thanks to the Good Feet Store.
They're showing highlights right now of the Tom Brady roast. I'm just curious. Roasts have changed, Paul. I know you know this because we used to do them, and now it's hard to do them. That one last night, though, went off the rails a little bit, didn't it?
Well,
it's the first time that I've seen one that was on film.
That was politically incorrect
I
at
mean,
a number
they,
of levels.
They crossed all kinds of boundaries in that thing. And, you know, that's what
I laugh, though.
That's what roast used to be. Right. It used to be, but we've become sort
soft.
Of a society. Not soft. Aww. It's more we've become humorless. Like
you're not supposed to offend anyone.
Nobody can laugh about anything.
It's a laughter thing.
This one was, there were some great stuff, but there's always got to be something that's off limits, even at a roast, ball. Like if you just had a death in the family, would that be on? I mean, you wouldn't mention that. They were bringing up.
Oh, I know. I've been to roast where the nothing was off the table, and it was kind of funny. And there was listen. I'll give you a great example.
Him
last
leaving
night,
a pregnant, what was her name? His first girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I forget
her
name, too. My wife would know this.
Bridget.
Bridget Moynihan.
Yeah. That was the story. That one is getting pretty close.
About,
and then the guy just had his family blow up with Giselle leaving. I don't know.
How about, yeah, but I mean, again, that's a part of it. Like there were some that made me cringe. Just because I thought, but like for instance, the the lady that said something like, "Yeah, now Aaron Hernandez has a ring around his neck."
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit.
That might cross the bond. I mean,
that's what I mean. There's always something, not a ton, but something.
That one there. I mean, are we really making jokes about a guy who committed suicide? And I mean,
the other ring joke was good. Who was it who said Brady has seven? Well, see, that was the Giselle thing, though. He said Brady has seven rings. No, he has eight now that Giselle gave hers back.
Yeah.
That one's not bad.
That's not bad. That's fine.
I would like to see people do comedy without swearing because I think that's more challenging.
Right. And it's funnier, usually.
It is normally funnier, but it's harder to do.
No, I think the swearing is funny.
No, it depends. Too much swearing.
It depends on what the swearing is. You know?
Certain swear words are always funny.
Like Cedric the Entertainer.
It also depends who it comes from.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't.
You know who Cedric the Entertainer is? And Bernie Mac. Did you ever see Kings of Comedy?
Yeah.
Most of the swearing in that is well-timed and well-placed, and it's funny. But here's the one, like, for instance, when Tom Brady said, yeah, when Gronk got here, we had a low bar for our tight ends. You know, catch passes, block, don't murder people. I guess I was okay with it. I mean, that was probably getting close to the line. But, like, Gronk's whole shtick was just sort of, that was just sort of – it wasn't funny. That's the worst part.
He thinks he's funny. And so he –
I get it. His whole entire shtick and all of his endorsements and all the opportunities he had, it's all, I'm the what is he now, 35 or however. I'm the 35-year-old frat boy or whatever. I get it. But to me, if you're going to roast somebody and you're going to, use swear words and that kind of stuff, to me, I really believe that you have to be funny.
Right, swear just, words don't just, make up for the lack
just
of comedy.
Was too much
and I think
stuff
some
there
people think it does.
Yeah, there was just too much stuff there that wasn't funny.
Well, Nelly's got some clips he's going to play for us, but we'll do that at the top of the hour.
No,
in the meantime,
we won't. We have a showdown at the top of the hour.
You're right. We'll do it at 12:20. We'll do that at 12:20, the Brady Roast. We were on with Dubas Sullivan stuff. Let's hear some calls, Nelly. By the way, what would you guys give Dubas as a grade for his first year in Pittsburgh? D minus.
D.
Yeah.
D.
For me, he was supposed to make the team better, was given
I would say
gigantic resources and didn't do it.
I would probably say a D. I mean, you know, and again, this gets back to my little point, though. Some of the guys in town have decided they love Dubas. So anything that has happened that didn't go right, he was hamstrung. To which you basically blew out of the water in your column last week where you're like, oh, he was so hamstrung he was able to sign – or he was able to make the biggest deal in hockey all of last offseason by bringing Carlson in.
And be
he
the third biggest
guy.
Spender in free agency.
Yes. And he signed this guy, and he gave Tristan Jarry, he was so hamstrung, he gave Tristan Jarry a contract that all of us were like, what are you doing? So, you know, give me a break. Sorry
let's
about that. I almost choked
there,
on
Nelly.
Myself there.
All right, let's go to Nick in Morris.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, so first off, I think I'm not like a huge Dubas fan, but I think he could be hamstrung if, like you said, they're coach-centric and they won't ever change. And the problem with Sullivan is he wants to play this certain style that is just not – you're not able to play anymore. And he's like beating his head off a brick wall. He still wants to play that way. And, you know, he doesn't want to change. He doesn't want to get, you know, you see some of these teams that have won the cup in the last few years, St. Louis, Vegas, you know, these are heavy teams. They don't, even Washington, the year they won, they weren't all like, you know, this speed skill team. It's, you can still win and be a heavy team. And it seems like, you know, we're so soft. We are. The Penguins are soft. And it's not, has nothing to do with Sid, Malkin, and Letang. They're the only ones that kind of stick up for themselves. But, you know, it's this mindset that, like, oh, we can't take penalties or we can't have a tough guy to slow us down. I don't believe in that. Like,
let's stick with your original point, which I thought I want to present it to Paul here. We appreciate the call. Is he hamstrung with Sullivan? Maybe he's not hamstrung or at least wasn't in these other areas, but is he hamstrung with this coach? If you're a guy who believes the coach needs to go but isn't going anywhere because of ownership, could that be true?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I think that we've talked about it how many times. He probably is hamstrung when it comes to Sullivan. Because
I would say Sullivan had a lot to do with the Jarry signing. Just looking at it from a glance, I'm not no information there other than to say that Sullivan's always backed Jarry. But again, if you're the GM, ultimately it's on you. You signed him.
I don't know. I look at it from the standpoint and say you really have to you have to be able to fire and hire whoever you want to fire and hire. And you have to be able to sign whoever you want to sign, not from a standpoint of you can spend whatever money you want to spend, but if Fenway Sports Group, we know what their job should be. Cal Dubas, here's your budget. Do your thing. And if that means fire your coach, we're on board with it.
Here's the other thing that's playing out, of course, here is Sheldon Keefe in Toronto. Nelly tells me that I didn't hear it, Keefe's season-ending post-game sounded like a guy who wants to get fired. Let me read you what Dave Molinari wrote in Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Most of that speculation, he's talking about speculation of Keefe coming here, had Dubas replacing Mike Sullivan with Keefe, but it also was suggested that Keefe could be chosen to fill the vacancy at Wilkes-Barre to await a promotion, much as Sully
just like Sullivan
was
did.
Chosen
just
one
like
day.
Just like Bylsma did, just like Therrien did.
Do you think that would be a possible move here? And how would you feel if you were Sully if that happened, Paul? If Sheldon Keefe was hired here for Wilkes-Barre as a coach more or less in waiting if Sully failed next season?
Well, I mean, again,
first of all, let me add this. What has Sheldon Keith done to make you think that he can be better than what Sullivan is?
Well, agreed. He's the coaching.
He's the coaching
version.
Toronto.
He's the coaching version of Kyle Dubas.
Right.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
Just because Kyle Dubas has a relationship with him,
that at least suggests
that there's pressure on Sullivan.
That getting rid of Reardon is step one. And now we're going to bring this guy in who, 20 games into the season, if it's not getting done, we're going to feel very comfortable getting rid of you and moving him in. That, to me, is at least a sign that Cal Dubas has some ability to, or he's at least, you know, gotten Fenway Sports Group to understand.
Man, I'll say.
What if Sheldon Keith does it, and all of a sudden Sullivan and his team gets to the playoffs, goes to a, you know, conference final, and then he's sitting in Wilkes-Barre for 4 years. Is that something he would want?
I would think he'd leave before that. But, yeah, that could happen. I mean, if Sully thrived, then you have Keith as your triple-A coach, basically, and he's just languishing there. But, man, what I would say to that is give Dubas an A. It would be almost like the Steelers and what they're doing. Like, it's been dramatic, and it's been a change of mindset, but it doesn't mean it'll work. You know what I mean? I'm talking about Fields and Wilson and what they've done there. But I give them credit for at least acknowledging this is not working and we need to do something dramatic to try to fix it.
Yeah.
Does that mean it'll work? No. In fact, chances are pretty good it might not work here next year with the Steelers. But at least they tried. If Dubas were to bring Keith to Wilkes-Barre, or some other coach that everybody knows is a coach in waiting, if it bombs at the beginning of next season, I'll feel the same way about that move. And I would give him a ton of that if he did that.
But it may not have to be him either, Keith. It could be somebody
else
who has a similar resume and somebody who is, you know, and if that's the case, then, you know, Sullivan was once in that same exact situation, as I said, Bielsma and Terry, and they all went through that sit down there, do your job, and if something happens, you're going to get the first call. So, has it worked before? Yes, it's worked.
Yeah.
Well, coming up next, Bob has a showdown. Break out your clubs for a great cause. May 28th, Valley Brook Country Club, Shendrovich and Fishman hosting a golf tournament to benefit two. It's about the Warrior veterans. All funds raised will go to these two individuals who served and sacrificed for our country. To participate, visit 98twinsgolf.com. Also wanted to tell you it's the 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So we're going to get to Bob's showdown. We're going to get to this Brady roast, which the whole sports world is talking about today. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 937 The Fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com, Century 21 Fairways Real Estate, and Fan Weather is the other thing I wanted to mention. And today, high of 70, cloudy throughout the day. Sun Chevrolet brings us Fan Weather. Spring into adventure. Great incentives through May 31st on the 2024 Trailblazer and Equinox. SunChevy.com. All right, let's get to Gina Giampietro, one of my favorite topics. Michelle needed to sell her home in Mount Lebanon and was referred to Gina by her cousin. Gina met with Michelle, gave her some recommendations on what she needed to do to get her home ready for the market and what she could expect to happen during the process of selling her home. Gina went right to work for Michelle and got her a full price for her home within 48 hours. Michelle said Gina knows exactly what she's doing at all times. No nonsense, gets the job done. To which I would add, you can't lose. Gina sits down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes, home isn't sold, Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh, Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Call Gina, 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.